And welcome to Raiding the Kingdom. We have our live episode here on Wednesday, April 3rd, and we're joined by very special guest, Jordan Reed from ESPN, NFL draft analyst, and a busy, busy guy. So we're gonna get right to it. But Jordan, doing good today? Busy?
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's the best time of the year. It's my favorite time. It feels like the lead up to Christmas. Remember when you were younger and December would hit and the 25th would take forever to get here. So I'm waiting for the 25th of April to get here, but I'm excited.
Exactly. We're getting close. So, you know, we do the dynamic here. It's Raiders and Chiefs. Raider Nation, I don't know how much you follow those fans, but they're divided on pretty much everything, even winning. A lot of them wanted us to lose the last Broncos game of the season to get better draft position. We won, and they were sit at 13. So the consensus is the first time Raider fans agree on anything is they want Jaden Daniels bad in the worst possible way. Is it a pipe dream? Do they have any shot of finagling this? What are you hearing? What are you seeing?
I mean, you never want to say never when it comes to the draft, just because you never know what's going to happen. And that's what I love the most about the draft. Guys slip all the time that you never see. I mean, we saw with Will Levis last year, right? Everybody said, and myself included, that he probably was going to end up being a top 10 pick, and he's not picked into the second round. Now, not to say that's going to happen to Jaden Daniels. I don't foresee that, but you never say never when it comes to the draft. So Jaden may slip, you never know, or the Raiders may end up trading up for him. You just never know what could happen with the draft.
Very true. Very true.
So, Jordan, I know we got to be quick here, but you and me share the same view on Mr. Drake May. We both believe he is, you know, next to Caleb Williams, probably the best quarterback in this draft. Me and Brendan made a bet, and I pretty much said out of this draft class, I thought Drake May long-term was probably going to end up being the best quarterback from this draft. You know, he fits the mold, 6'4", 230. You know, he's your typical pocket passer, but he can get out too, scramble if he needs to. He scored nine rushing touchdowns last year. Do you see him going to the Commanders? Because I know that's, you know, a lot of people say Jaden to the Commanders, but I know you were saying that you think Drake May might.
Coach, do I get some of that money if you end up?
I'm kidding.
I'm kidding. But, you know, it's a really interesting debate at the top of the draft, but number two overall with Washington, just because they're doing a really good job of staying tight-lipped as far as the direction that they're going to go. And I talked a little bit about this on SEC Network during LSU's Pro Day last week. And you kind of have to put yourself in the shoes of Dan Quinn and then also Adam Peters. But once again, it could go both ways, just because if you look at the quarterbacks that they have had success with during the regimes that they have been with, whether it's Matt Ryan with Dan Quinn when he was in Atlanta, Jimmy Garoppolo, Brock Purdy when Adam Peters when he was in San Francisco, I think it favors more towards Drake May. But then you could put yourself in Dan Quinn's shoes as well as a defensive coordinator and just ask yourself, Who would give you more problems as far as game planning against? That's what could be the determining factor, whether that's Drake May or Jaden Daniels. So I definitely could think it could go a lot of different ways, but I don't know which way that they're going to go. Speaking to sources all the time, they don't know either. So they're doing a really good job of staying tight-lipped. But as far as the second best quarterback in this draft, I'm with you, Coach. I think Drake May is going to be really good in the NFL, and you just have to think of the surroundings that he had at North Carolina or lack thereof. And yeah, the first year that he was there with Phil Longo, who doesn't put an emphasis on footwork in the air raid offense at all. And then he transfers over to Chip Lindsey after losing Josh Downs and Antoine Green to NFL draft picks. Didn't get Tez Walker until midway through the season last year. But when he did have Tez, we saw the high-end flashes of Drake May. And, yes, he had some games of where he struggled. Clemson, NC State, Virginia, you go on and on about the games that he struggled in. But I'm just going to trust those flashes that I saw with Drake May. And now what happens when we put him in a situation with Devontae Adams and improved offensive line and some of these other surroundings that he could have, I just think he's going to get better over time.
Couldn't agree more.
And now while we talk about those two, you know, quarterbacks, we presume are going to kind of be in the top three. The other guy that the Raiders are kind of keeping an eye on, and I believe I just saw they scheduled a visit with him, a top 30 visit, is Michael Penix from Washington. The division, of course, with Raiders fans exists once again. And Jordan, there, the hot debate is, he's your guy. You take him at 13. Is the value there? Or do you trade down when we know inevitably there's going to be a bidding war for these quarterbacks? Do you think if he's the guy, take him at 13? Or are you on the other side that says, let's be strategic and fill offensive tackle or cornerback?
I would feel a little more comfortable trading back into the first round to get him after I pick at 13. And I say that because with Penix, you're going to have a near perfect infrastructure for him in order to succeed. And if you think about what he had at Washington, Washington had a phenomenal offensive line last year. He had three wide receivers that are going to be high-end draft picks this year. And we saw the best form of Michael Penix Jr. So for me, if I were them, I would address offensive tackle at 13, mm-hmm. whether it's a Talese Fuaga, a Marius Mims, J.C. Latham, whoever the highest guy is on your board, come back into the first round, come up from 44 overall, and get Michael Penix. Now, that's very risky just because somebody else could take him prior to that point. But that will be my strategy, even if it is a little bit risky. 13 is just way too high for Penix, especially when you're considering and factoring in the durability concerns. So I want to give myself the most chances for Penix to succeed just because I have that high-end offensive tackle now to pair with Colton Miller. And now I have my quote-unquote franchise quarterback now with Gardner Minshew in place. I don't have to rush Penix on the field either.
Agreed. Yeah, that right tackle position is kind of a literal and a you know metaphoric glaring hole for the Raiders right now. So that is something to think about.
Okay, so my question is it's kind of a two-part question, and it's obviously going to be Chiefs related. So obviously, you know, big news today earlier, Stephon Diggs goes to Houston. You know, big move, improves that wide receiver room by leaps and bounds. You know, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, obviously now Stephon Diggs, and you know Woods and Michi too round that out incredibly well. Now the Chiefs at the end of the first round, before this happened, I was thinking like we might be able to get the best available player. Do you think now with that happening, they're even more locked in and trying to get another wide receiver, or do you think they're just going to kind of let the draft board play out?
I think the Chiefs are a sneaky trade up team, man. Just because I don't see them, I don't see Brett Veach just sitting back, letting the draft board fall to him and picking at 32. And we all know that whenever Veach likes somebody, he's aggressive in going up to get them. We saw it with Mahomes. We saw it with Trent McDuffie. We've seen it with plenty of other players. I think they did it with Rashee Rice last year, too.
Yeah.
Whenever Veach likes somebody, he goes and gets them. And I just don't see in this such a strong wide receiver class, I don't see him allowing all those guys to go off the board at 32 and just waiting to stick and pick. So I think they're going to be really aggressive to go up and get somebody. And that's not to say they're going to trade up inside the top 10 to get Neighbors or Dunze or Marvin Harrison Jr. But, you know, to get a Brian Thomas Jr. or Adonai Mitchell or somebody like that, that would not be surprising at all.
Yeah, I was a Franklin fan out of Oregon. I think he would probably be a guy that would maybe follow them at 32 if they stayed. But I think you're right. I think Veach, when he locks in on somebody, and he obviously does a good job of trying to keep things close to the chest, that he would 1,000% make a trade up if he identifies the guy that's going to make this team try and, you know, go for a three-peat.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they're going to be really aggressive. And, you know, Franklin could be a target for them at 32 as well.
Yeah, I watched Troy Franklin a little bit of film, and that's not someone I'd like the Raiders to face every year, and I definitely don't want them going up and getting Odunze, or now that you said Marvin Harrison, like, you're terrifying me, so thanks. So we'll do one last question before you got to go, Jordan. In light of the news just breaking, initial reaction to Stephon Diggs, what was the first thought that came in your mind? Mine was the Bills really wanted to get rid of him. I want to know what your first reaction was to that news.
Well, it's a copycat league, and I think what Brandon Bean probably sat back in his office and spent hours and hours of time thinking was that not only is Josh Allen's contract going to kick in here soon, it's going to be very expensive, but also you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and whenever you have a high-end quarterback like that, he has to be able to elevate the wide receivers around him. So my thinking is that he has a bunch of cheap wide receivers around him right now. Let's go ahead and take advantage of a strong wide receiver class by taking advantage of that 28th overall pick, or even if they want to trade up or trade back or whatever it is. But also, let's go ahead and use the Green Bay Packers model as well. We saw them draft three guys last year, and they came in and had immediate success, and we didn't even know what Jordan Love was going to be coming into the year. So let's trust our high-end quarterback that we feel is a top-five guy to elevate and grow throughout the year with some of these young pieces that we can bring in now. So I believe the Bills have 11 draft picks overall now, if I'm not mistaken. So they have a very, very, excuse me, they have it. They added an extra second round pick next year. So they have a bunch of draft capital in order to draft some wide receivers this year or even next year. But I think they're leaning more so on the superpowers of Josh Allen and being able to basically uplift some of the young surroundings that he's going to have next year.
Exactly. Well, I think we might end up seeing, you know, they're at 28, I believe, so we'll maybe see a little bidding war to jump up a receiver between Brett Veach and Brandon Bean. And I hope they just both go with a punter or something instead. But but this is Jordan's out of time, busy guy, making podcast to podcast, ESPN to Mel Kiper. You're all over the place. So we appreciate you coming on, and hopefully thank we can you, get Jordan. You on again in the future.
No problem. Thank you guys for having appreciate me. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Jordan.
All right. I'll see you guys.
See you,
bro. So everyone that missed it, you'll be able to catch it on YouTube. The live feed will replay, but that was Jordan Reed from ESPN. Obviously just a really knowledgeable guy, great dude. And he's got great insight into the draft and draft analysts. Something that you should all tune into.
Yeah. Great follow on Twitter. Obviously it had to be a quick episode. This is, like he said, it's Christmas time. He's like Santa Claus. He's going everywhere. He's got a lot of places to be, a lot of people to talk to. So we greatly appreciate him giving our little Raiding the Kingdom a little bit of love and jumping on here and answering some good questions for all of us. So appreciate you, brother.
Exactly. So props to Jordan, everyone out there. This was just a quick episode, a little draft roundtable. Jordan Reed from ESPN. And we'll bring you some longer detailed stuff in the near future. Peace.
Go Chiefs.